our service tonight has been a little longer than normal, but I do promise you that I will be done early enough that you can make it to work in the morning. Judges chapter 6. Judges chapter 6. As we come to this portion of scripture this evening, keep in mind that this is the Old Testament. Keep in mind that this is dealing with the nation of Israel. Keep in mind that the individual that we are going to be speaking of this evening was a man in the time of Israel's history. And yet, I believe as we look into his word tonight, as we look at this individual, we can see some happenings in our own life that compare to his. Some applications that we can make in our lives. When you come to the book of Judges, you find a cycle that repeats itself over and over again. We find it here in the sixth chapter of Judges. And in verse 1, in chapter 6, we find Israel's sin. And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian 7 years. And then you go to verse 2, you find the second part of the cycle. So the first is sin. The second is servitude. When Israel would fall into sin, God would bring some judgment. He would put them in servitude for a period of time. Verse 2, and the hand of Midian prevailed against Israel. And because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made them the dens which are in the mountains, and caves, and strongholds. And then we find that when God would put Israel into servitude, they would finally come to the place in their life where they would cry out to God. And so you have sin, you have servitude, and then you have supplication. They are crying out to God. Look at verse number 7. And it came to pass when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites, because of the servitude that they had been placed under, they would finally come to the point in their life where they would cry out to God for his delivering in their lives. And then you come to verses 11 down through verse number 16, and these are the verses that we're going to be looking at this evening, and we find Israel's salvation. God would send a deliverer when Israel would finally come to the realization and acknowledgement of their sin and the servitude that they were under, and he would send a deliverer and bring salvation. I'm going to read verses 11 down through verse number 16. You can follow along if you so desire. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite. And his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befalling us? And where be all his miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? And he said unto him, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. And the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. And so we find sin in Israel. And then we find servitude in Israel. And then we find supplication by the Israelites. And then we find Israel's salvation. And then if you jump all the way over to Joshua chapter 8 and verse 28, we find silence. In other words, God would send a deliverer, and it would bring a time of peace in the lives of the children of Israel. And so we find that God is working in verse 28 of chapter 8. Thus was Midian subdued before the children of Israel, so that they lifted up their heads no more. And the country was in quietness 40 years in the days of Gideon. And so that cycle, if you would go through the book of Judges, you'll find that repeated time and time again. Now, God used a number of judges to bring silence when Israel acknowledged their sin. Last Sunday evening, Pastor, in his teaching time, asked a number of questions. And I'd already started preparing this message that particular time. And so I was kind of interested to find out, he's going to ask a question about Gideon. And certainly he did that. But at least one of the questions that he asked was, of course, about Gideon. It is interesting, the Bible gives more space to Gideon than any of the other judges. There are several chapters here in referring to Gideon and his call of the Lord. And so this evening, I want us to see some principles, some truths from Gideon's life as a challenge for you and for I. Before we do, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Dear gracious God and Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for the privilege of being able to look into the Word of God tonight. Thank you, Lord, for the entire Word of God, which is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And as the Apostle Paul said, that all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable. And so this portion of Scripture is profitable. And I trust that we can glean some things from this tonight that would be a challenge, an encouragement, whatever is needed. So we ask God that you would guide my lips that I not speak anything amiss. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. As I look at this portion of Scripture, we're going to see the three C's. First of all, Gideon's commission, or God's commission to Gideon. You know, I have a friend that I call on once in a while, quite often, to help me out when I'm preparing messages and doing a lot of things. His name is Miriam Webster, and I go to him for advice, and I did that as I was preparing this message. I wanted to know, what is a commission? And this is what he told me. A commission is an authorization or a command to act in a prescribed manner or to perform prescribed acts. But he didn't end there. He continued on, and he said that authority to act for, in behalf of, or in place of another. Then he added a little bit to that, and he said, an act of entrusting or giving authority. Now, as you think of those definitions that was given, we find that that's exactly what is taking place in the Scripture before us. God is giving authority to Gideon. He often does that. He does that in our lives. He gives us a commission. He gives us an authority to act on behalf of him, to act or perform a prescribed task. And of course, for Gideon, he was being commissioned to deliver Israel out of the hands of the Midianites. They had sinned, and God had put them in under the Midianites to get their attention once again. And then when they cried out to God, God sent Gideon to be the one who would deliver them, to free them from under the bondage of the Midianites, commissioning him as to act as Israel's deliverer. As we walk with the Lord, God often gives us a commission. He gives us a task. He even allows us at times to, now I don't want you to misunderstand this, to be the deliverer. Now, we cannot save anybody, but he uses us in his hands to be a deliverer, as Gideon was for the nation of Israel. And so what is a commission? Well, we saw what a commission is. Now, I want to ask another question. What was the commission actually given to Gideon? Gideon was all alone. If you notice in verse number 14, and the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? But look at verse number 11 is the verse I wanted. Brother Mike said senior moments. Now, Mike, you have to be a senior before you can have a senior moment. I've reached that goal. Verse 11, and there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was in Ophrah, that pertained to Joash the Abiezrite. And his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. Gideon was all alone. He was hiding behind the wine press. You know, isn't it so often like Gideon was all alone, no one around him, that God spoke to him? God often speaks to us, calls us, not while we're hiding necessarily, but while we're all alone, especially in those times when we get alone with the Lord. And just let the Lord work in our lives, all alone with him. But now go to verse 14 and notice what the Lord says to Gideon. First of all, he uses that little word that we find often in the New Testament, go. Go. But then he adds at the very end of that verse, have not I sent thee? And in between those two, between the command to go and the fact that it was God that was sending him, is what the commission to Gideon really was. Gideon's commission was to save Israel, to bring them out from underneath the bondage of the Midianites, to give them silence, to give them some rest in there. And so God was sending Gideon, commissioned him for a particular task, a particular ministry. But God not only commissions Gideon, but also fits him or prepares him for the fulfilling of that task. And we'll look at that in greater length in just a few moments. But again, as you look at that last phrase, have not I sent thee? When God gives a commission, when the Lord gives us a task, when the Lord speaks to us and he calls us, who is it that is sending us? Have not I sent thee? It is the great, the all-sufficient one, the one with all authority. You think of the call of the commissioning of Moses back in Exodus in chapter 3 and verse 14. And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am, the great I am, the all-sufficient one, has sent me. When I think of a commission, I see it as God presenting to you and I an opportunity to serve. I see it as an opportunity for us to be involved in what he is doing. opportunity to be used of the Lord. You know, that's a great privilege. To be used of the Lord. Gideon was given an opportunity to be used of the Lord. And I mentioned Moses. Moses was given an opportunity. And so though the dictionary, though Mr. Webster said that it is a command, and it is, but it's more than a command. It's a privilege that we have to be used of the Lord. You know, the Lord delights in using his servants. He delights in using his children to be a part of his work, a part of his ministry. And so God's call to Midian was a very personal call. And God often and normally makes personal calls, personal commissioning for each and every one of us. You know, missionaries are called to the Lord, and a church will have a commissioning service. It really isn't the church that's commissioning them. The Lord has already commissioned them. It's the Lord, it's a church that's just agreeing with what the Lord is already doing. And I'm so thankful for that. And so, first of all, we see Gideon's commission. Secondly, we see Gideon's, I wanted to stay with C's, Gideon's concern. If I was going with the E's, I would have said Gideon's excuses. Have you ever made an excuse to God? I know I have. It took God 2 years to get through to me. I had all kinds of excuses. I was busy serving in the local church, deacon, taught senior high, Sunday school classes, and so forth. God had to keep working in my life, and we find that true in Gideon. We find here Gideon's question in verse 15. And he, Gideon, saith unto him, God, O my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. God, are you sure you have picked the right man? God, do you know who I am? Maybe it'd be better to say, God, do you know who I am not? Let me remind you. And in the second half of that verse, he reminds God of who he is as though God didn't know. Gideon felt that he was the last man that God could possibly use. And in a sense, he was right. Have you ever felt that way? You're asked to be a Sunday school teacher. You might not say it to God. You might say it to the pastor or whoever is asking you. Are you sure you got the right person? Do you know who I am? Or do you know who I am not? Gideon felt fearful. He was hiding. He felt insignificant. You know, as you think of that, that's the best place to be. If we can come to the point in our life where we do not feel we are significant, that we are able, then God can start using us. Gideon's concern might have been typical of the Near Eastern humility, but also a genuine realization of his own insufficiency. Yes, we need to be aware of our insufficiency. If we are not careful, our own sufficiency can keep us from being used of the Lord. Pastor Caleb, as he was speaking to the kids, as we saw in the little clip, you know, you can't do it on your own. Of course, he was speaking about salvation. No, we cannot save ourselves. And no, we cannot serve the Lord by ourselves. We are insufficient. And so we see Gideon's question, but also we see God's qualifying. Yes, God was going to use Gideon. And God had commissioned him. God had chosen him and given him a task. God was going to do some work in his life. He had to do some work in his life before he could actually use Gideon. And yes, he has to do work in most of our lives before he can use us. Sometimes he needs to bring us low. Sometimes he needs to change our attitude, our thoughts, and so forth. But God was going to work in Gideon's life to build his faith, to prepare him for the task, that he might be usable. When God gives a task, when God gives a commission, he works to qualify us for that task, for that commission. Yes, it was Gideon who would deliver Israel, defeat the Midianites, but God was going to do some work in his life first. The task is not complete as you follow the story here until we get over to chapter 7 and verses 22 and 23. And between what we're looking at this evening and chapter 7 and verses 22 and 23, God does some work in the life of Gideon. The Lord gives Gideon a second commission. He gives him a lesser commission. He gives him that which would help him to build up his faith, to strengthen him, to encourage him, and to trust the Lord in a greater way. Look at chapter 6 and verses 25 down through verse 27. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, take my father's young bullock, take thy father's young bullock, even the second bullock of 7 years old, and throw down the altar of Baal that thy father hath, and cut down the grove that is by it, and build an altar unto the Lord thy God unto the top of this rock, in the ordered place, and take the second bullock and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the grove which thou shalt cut down. Then Gideon took the 10 men of the servants and did as the Lord had said unto him. Now notice here, God is doing some work in Gideon's life. He gives him another commission, a lesser commission than the first one. And it says here, that he did as the Lord said unto him. And so it was. Now notice Gideon again. Gideon still has some fear. Because he feared his father's household and the men of the city, that he could not do it by day, that he did it by night. He did it, but he kind of did it in silence. He kind of did it on his own terms. He was still fearing. He was still hiding a little bit. And God had to continue to work in his life. And Gideon showing that fear, God builds his faith through the fleece. And we'll not take time to look at that this evening. You know, you and I, like Gideon, need to realize that we are limited. But God is not. There is no limitation with God. Our sufficiency is not in ourself, but in the Lord. As Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians in chapter 3 and verse 5, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. Again, in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 8, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. One of the individuals that I did some reading on, and as I was preparing this message, made this statement. If we are to be used of God, we must get entirely away from ourselves and be with God on the ground of Christ. Let me read that to you again. If we are to be used of God, we must get entirely away from ourselves to be with God on the ground of Christ. It's not me. But it's Christ. We can be thankful, I am at least, that God uses the weak individuals like you and I, insufficient individuals. Gideon felt he was insufficient. Oh, he was from the smallest tribe. He was from the smallest family. And he was the lowest one in that family. He was a nobody. Praise the Lord. He was able to be used of God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verses 26 and 27, "For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty." You know, we can associate with Peter. I think he's probably one of the easiest disciples to associate with. He's like us too often. He brushes his teeth with gunpowder and keeps shooting off his mouth when he shouldn't. But notice what Peter says in Luke chapter 5 and verse 8. "When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, 'Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord.'" I am a sinful man. That's me. I'm a sinful man, O Lord. But in verse 10, we find Christ's response to Peter. "And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, 'Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men.'" Oh, yes, you might be a sinful man, but I can still use you. And I can reach others through you. You notice, God used Moses, not Pharaoh. As Paul stated in 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and in verse number 10, "Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." When I am weak in my natural self, when nature, my natural ways fail me, then strength can be given to me. The more deficiency there is in me, so much more. And I'm quoting from another individual that I read. "The more deficiency there is in me, so much the more liberally does the Lord from his strength supply me with whatever he needs to be needful for me. In my weakness, I become strong through the Lord." Yes, we are limited. We are insufficient, but God is not. And so we saw Gideon's commission. We saw his concern. And then the third one I had difficulty with. I said, well, should I label this Gideon's comfort? Should I label it Gideon's companionship? Should I label it Gideon's conclusion? And I settled on Gideon's consolation. And if you know what that word means, tell me after the service. Verse 16, we find God's promise to Gideon. "And the Lord said unto him, Surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man." Not as a army, not as a nation, but you'll smite them just as though there was just one individual out there. God's promise. God gives words of consolation. He quiets Gideon's fears. And I believe here in verse 16 is the key to the fulfilling of the commission, the completing of the task. God gives Gideon a promise, his power, and his presence. What else do we need? Jump ahead or slowly crawl over to chapter 7 and verse 7. And the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that lapped will I save you, and deliver the Midianites into thine hand, and let all the other people go every man unto his place. What does that verse say? And the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that lapped, will I save you. I, God, will save you. Drop down to verse 15. And it was so, when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof, that he worshiped and turned into the host of Israel and said, arise, for the Lord hath delivered into your hand the host of Midian. The key, that little phrase in verse 16 of our text, surely I will be with thee. And then these other verses, God continuing to promise, I will deliver you. I will give you the victory. And in verse 14, he had already said to Gideon, go in this thy might. And when he said that, he was not saying, Gideon, go in your sufficiency. Go in your ability. But he was speaking of who he was, who God was. He wasn't saying, go in Gideon's power, but in the Lord's power who is with thee. Gideon was a mighty man of valor. And yet without God, he could do nothing. He was not sufficient in himself. He could not prosper. Yes, God was going to use Gideon. Yes, God was going to use the 300 men as they surrendered to the Lord and as they all followed his instruction. But it was the Lord who was going to give the deliverance. It was the Lord who was going to give the victory that particular day. Again, I want to read a quote. It is then no longer a question of what the Midianites are, but what God is. For we go to meet them in his strength. It's not who the Midianites are, but it is who God is. And it's the same in our lives today, in the ministry that we might have, in the walk that we have with the Lord. It's not in what we face. It is not in others, but it's in God. It's not in ourselves. So God gave a promise to Gideon. God promises and gives a promise to you and I as well. God's promises to Gideon surely were a consolation, an encouragement. And God said to him, I have called you. I will be with you. You will have the victory. As you think of the commissions the Lord gives, as you read of the different commissions throughout the Word of God, so often, if not always, there are those same promises given. I have called you. I will be with you. I will give the victory. I will enable you. It was a promise that was given to Moses when he commissioned him to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 12. And he said, certainly, I will be with thee. And this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the people of out of Egypt, yea, ye shall serve the Lord God upon this mountain. He told Moses, I'll be with you. I'll be your strength. It was the same promise that was given to Joshua when Joshua was going to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. In Joshua chapter 1 and verse 5, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. But now let us jump to New Testament. And what we often refer to as the Great Commission. It's a general commission that is given to every believer. And we normally always go to Matthew chapter 28 and verses 19 and 20, often starting with verse 18. But it's recorded in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and Acts. But notice again in Matthew chapter 28 and verses 19 and 20, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. That's the commission. That's a challenge. That's a task that he has given. But God didn't end it there. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Yeah, I'm giving you something to do. But I'll do it for you. I'll be your strength. I'll be your ability. I'll be your enabler. I've heard it often said, God's commandments are God's enabling. We can rejoice in the thought that God chooses to use his children. That God chooses to use you and I. And God, yes, often has to work in our lives. He has to give us some smaller commissionings. Sometimes he just needs to slap us up along the side of the face, get our attention. But he always says, I'll be with you. I'll be your strength. I'll enable you to accomplish the work that I give you to do. Has the Lord given you a commission? Has the Lord given you a task? Has the Lord given you an opportunity? An opportunity to serve him in some capacity. Take heart. He will enable you. Remember the words of the Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 24. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. Let's pray. Dear gracious God and Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for the privilege, the opportunity you give us to be used of you. Lord, thank you for Gideon. Yes, he was fearful. Yes, he was very insufficient in himself. But God enabled him. And I believe tonight that most of us here tonight can identify with him. We're fearful. We realize our own insufficiency. But help us to remember the promise of God. He gives us a promise. He gives us power. And above all, he gives us his presence. Guide and direct in each of our lives. Help us to be Gideons for you. For it's in Christ's name we pray.